This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is Thursday. It is Friday, Junior, and we have a great show for you all today. I'm very excited to be here, as always. And if you want to tune in, if you want to call in, it's 844-500-4242. Some great guests lined up for the day. We've got Ned Ryan from American Greatness, who I really like to have on whenever renewable energies are in the news. You notice when renewable energies are garnering headlines, it's not usually because things are going really well. It's not because they're knocking it out of the park. So Ned Ryan's going to talk to us about that. He'll join the show at 105. We just picked up a station in Reno, and there's a huge story that's happening that's out of Las Vegas. So we are going to talk about that in the 1 o'clock hour. But the big story of the day is a sad story. By all accounts, things do not look good for the Queen, Queen Elizabeth. News broke today that the Queen is at her Scotland estate and she is under medical supervision. Doctors are concerned. This is pretty much a break with what they usually do. They usually don't tell us what the doctors think. So everyone is kind of preparing for the Queen to perhaps not be with us very shortly. Her immediate family is gathering at her side. Fox News and other stations have been running with this all day long. It's going to be probably in the headlines for the foreseeable future. It does seem like this is the most serious condition we've seen her in. She's 96 years old. We will let you know if any news breaks during this show, but anyone who listens to this show and anyone who's been listening since the beginning, which was like 2 years ago, knows that I'm a big fan of the Queen. She's the second longest serving sovereign monarch in history. So I'm definitely watching this closely along with the rest of the world. And we hope that she's surrounded by her family and friends and that she's comfortable. I'm reading now that Meghan Markle will not be joining Harry at the Queen's side, which I think is appropriate given the recent tension amongst the family. And that's not the only big news of the day, though. Last night there was, and I hate to sound so doom and gloom right off the top of the show, but these are the breaking headlines. Last night there was a terrifying shooting spree across Memphis, and it left 4 people dead and 3 others injured. Now, we're learning more about the suspect here, Ezekiel Kelly. He was arrested. He allegedly recorded the shootings onto Facebook. And the media, for the most part, is not giving this story the kind of coverage I would assume they might. This is from Fox News, though. It says, Kelly is also suspected of 2 armed carjackings that happened as he attempted to flee from police. Authorities said the rampage was spread across at least 8 different crime scenes. So last night, the police started warning people, like, if you can stay inside your house, stay there. Do not leave because there is a madman on the loose. Police said multiple felony charges are pending against Kelly. Now, the Memphis mayor, Jim Strickland, revealed during a press conference that Kelly was previously charged with attempted first-degree murder, but pleaded guilty to a downgraded aggravated assault charge in April 2021. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison, but was released in March 2022 after serving just 11 months of his sentence. This is a common trend that we see in a lot of these cases, where the suspect was previously known to police. The recidivism rate is very high. And unfortunately, you look at some of these cases and you just think, why couldn't that person be behind bars? Like, what was the rationale for saying, oh, no, he should be back out on the streets? Because now we have 4 people who are dead and 3 injured. And it's just a shame. And it's, you know, this kind of crime spree. And I just saw the other day on CNN, they were talking about the fact that these progressive Democrats do not want to talk about the crime spree. And it's because most of the time it's their policies that are leading to these abhorrent murders and assaults. And as for the media, they'll run with it for, you know, a few seconds. They'll say the headline so they can get it out of the way, but they won't focus on it. They won't focus on what they, you know, they always love to talk about the root causes. No one's going to focus on the root causes of this. They'll probably blame the gun, or they'll blame the weapon, or they'll blame, you know, Facebook for streaming it, but they won't get to the root of what this is, which is, how many times do people have to show you that they're dangerous human beings with very little respect for the sanctity of human life before you lock this person up and throw away the keys, or lock this person up for at least the sentence, which I don't even consider that to be a long sentence, 3 years for attempted first degree murder. I don't consider 3 years in prison a very long time for that, but they couldn't even keep him in for that. He was out within 11 months. We'll talk more about this. We'll take your calls. It's 844-500-4242. As I mentioned, there's a story out of Las Vegas. Very, very bizarre story. And it's a journalist. Now, this goes along the same line of things you're not going to read about much today. Unless you're, you know, tuning into the Grace Curley Show, or you go to Red State, or you go to Powerline. You might read a little bit about this. But otherwise, it's going to be pretty much crickets. A journalist was killed. And now police are zeroing in on a Democrat official who was ticked off about this journalist reporting. So the journalist did a lot of really good reporting that kind of derailed this Democrat's chances of reelection and in Las Vegas. And if you did see this story anywhere in the mainstream media, you might notice that some key details are missing. Party affiliation does not matter if a Democrat is in trouble. If this person were a Republican and he attacked and allegedly killed a journalist for that journalist reporting, I'm not a betting person, but I can guarantee you we'd be seeing Republican in a lot of headlines. And this would be national news. And it's not national news right now, because they don't care. Because this crazy Democrat is a Democrat. And that's the end game for them. It's really, in the media, it's all about this narrative, and they will not skew from it. This is a mistake, a whoopsie, as far as the framing of this, that would not occur, like I said, if this alleged murderer were a Republican. But the whoopsies, I mean, they just keep on coming. I read today that Snapchat had a slip-up. That's what they're calling it over at Axios. So here's the slip-up, okay? And again, you know, I make plenty of errors. Everybody makes mistakes. In the words of Hannah Montana, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days. But all these mistakes, I can't help but notice. All of these mistakes go one way. You know, I'm never seeing any mistakes that are benefiting Republicans. I'm only seeing mistakes that are benefiting Democrats. And after the 17th, 18th, 19th mistake, I start to go, ooh, this is a bit of a pattern. I'm like the people at CNN trying to figure out who's getting fired next. I'm seeing a bit of a pattern here. It would appear they're firing people who have terrible ratings and who no one wants to watch. Well, it would appear that all of these mistakes might not be mistakes after all. So this is from Axios. Scoop. A slip-up by social media giant Snap allowed leading Democratic campaigns and party committees to unwittingly tap into a vast amount of Republican voter data to hone their midterm ads. What a wonderful mistake. I mean, if I'm a Democratic campaign or part of the party committee, and I find out that we can now tap into all of this voter information because Snapchat made a whoopsie-daisy. Snapchat made an oops. A slip-up. That's what they're calling it. What a nice slip-up. Can I get me a slip-up here, is how he might say. This is a pretty nice slip up if you have a D next to your name. If you're a Republican and you don't want your information out there, sucks to be you. But if you're a Democrat, oh boy, what a lucky slip up. We got to start having some of these lucky mistakes go in our favor. That's what I'm talking about. And I didn't even know. They kept saying Snap. And I guess that's Snapchat. I guess that's like the official name of it.
Yeah.
But don't let this destroy your faith in the integrity of big tech. Because I'm sure that that was just a... I'm sure that was an honest mistake.
Okay? It's just an algorithm thing. I don't know.
It's an algorithm thing, Jared. You're absolutely right. There's nothing they could have done. In other news, it's September. That means we have a lot of fun stories as well. Because it's... You know what September is, Jared? You're probably... When I say September, what do you think of?
Football.
No, it's magazine season, baby. This is the time of the year.
I never would have guessed that.
This is the time of the year where if you can land a cover of a magazine, you are a star. Okay, this is the time of the year where only big stars get on magazine covers. So that's why you see Jennifer Lawrence is on the cover of Vogue. She's talking about how she's having nightmares about Tucker Carlson. We'll get into that. And how she's very upset at her family because they are Republicans. And then, you know, my cup runneth over because then I go online today and I realize, oh, wow, there's another social media superstar who landed the cover. AOC is on the cover of GQ and she's talking about her presidential ambitions. Turns out she doesn't think she's going to win the presidency ever because most people in this country hate women. If you're just finding this out now, I'm sorry you had to hear it from me. But I guess, according to AOC, that's what's up. Coincidentally, this same excuse is being floated for Stacey Abrams because the polls aren't looking good for Stacey Abrams, which is strange because she is the incumbent, right?
Exactly.
She's already the governor, so she should have a lead here. But none of these polls are working out for Stacey Abrams. And according to sources or according to people in the know, it's because sexism... misogyny, you name it. And so all of these Democrat, all these rising stars are hitting the glass ceiling and they can't seem to break through. But we're going to try to help them today.
Will there ever be a female governor in this country?
Gosh. Hopefully in our lifetime, Jared. Hopefully in our lifetime. 844-500.
Hopefully in Arizona next month.
I know. Carrie Lake. You see, we have audio of Carrie Lake. That woman. I shouldn't say I was roasting her because I don't think I was roasting her. But I poked fun at her recently because she got up at some convention and she started talking about BDE. If you know what that means, then you know why I was a little bit like, do we have to talk like this? It's a little cringe. That's how I describe it. I wasn't offended. I wasn't clutching my pearls. It was just a little cringe. But she has redeemed herself. Every time I see this woman talking to reporters, she's just slaying the game. She just drops the mic everywhere she goes. And she's really good at it. I'm starting to think as much flack as Trump got for being in TV before he entered into politics, I'm starting to think it's the way to go. I'm starting to think that if you're a radio host, maybe you could have political ambitions.
Look out, President Brian Stelter.
The Democrat surveillance state is here. 87,000 new armed, I'm talking armed, non-law enforcement IRS agents. Why does America need that? The liar said no new taxes on individuals making under 400K. So we paid attention to the 400K part of it, and then they slipped this in under our noses. They will soon control all aspects of your life with armed agents rummaging through every dime you've ever spent. Friends, this is no joke. This is for real. As Joe Biden would say, I'm being deadly earnest. You traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg, and now you have to protect it. You need this now. It's Monetary Gold's new guide, and it's called 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Call Monetary Gold now. There is no time to delay. The number is 888-617-7994. Again, the name of this is Get 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. 888-617-7994. 888-617-7994. Time is of the essence. I love that you're already on the lines. We will talk about whatever you want to talk about. We have so much to get to today. Do not go anywhere because this is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
See, a lot of our bumper music, Jared, is summertime. I'm going to have to start switching it up, getting a little September jam in here. We have a lot to get to today. I don't know if people saw this headline, but Politico has some scoop. That's my new way. I like how Axios uses that word. Who doesn't love a little scoop? They have some scoop on the drama between CNN and the White House. This is like high school. I've never seen a network take so much grief from an administration. And you know who's heading it up? It's the White House's number one tweeter-in-chief, Ron Klain.
That's the truth.
He does not like... Imagine being a reporter, using air quotes here, you're a journalist, and you tweet something out that's true, like Breonna Keeler, for example, after Joe Biden's horrible speech where he looked like it was, you know, the end scene of Carrie, he had the red lights all over him. She said, she made a comment about the two Marines in the back, and it was a very, I don't want to say innocuous, but it was a very fair statement that whether it's Republican or Democrat, it's wrong to do that. It's wrong to position military guys behind you if you're making an overtly political speech, which it was. He mentioned MAGA Republicans 14 times. And she's mentioned this Politico thing because I guess the White House, allegedly, is so thrown off by this new CNN where they're trying to be a little bit more, I shouldn't even say more centered. What I should say is they're trying to be less deranged. And that's bothering the White House. Because if you've lost CNN, what do you have left? MSNBC?
Right-wing commentator, Breonna Keeler.
Yeah, they're calling it Fox News Lite or Diet Fox News. I'll get to it. I'll get to the palace intrigue, but there's bigger fish to fry. Some people here want to talk about the Memphis shooting, really horrible stuff that happened last night. A Memphis man killed, this story must be a little bit old because this says two, and I believe the count was up to four. In a shooting spree across the city, cops identify the suspect as 19-year-old Ezekiel Kelly. He was arrested late Wednesday night. Before Kelly's arrest, the city of Memphis warned all residents, if you do not need to be out, please stay home. We'll go to the calls now. Tom, you're first up today on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I've been watching CNN this morning. I haven't seen anything about this. And if they will cover it, it'll be for about 15 seconds. And this is the fact that we know about this case. It's a mass shooting. He filmed it on Facebook Live. Now, if this were, let's say, a white male who did the same thing in that same city, it would be nonstop coverage of how we have to have common sense gun control legislation. However, he happens to be black. And I'm sure someone will call in and make an issue out of the fact that I brought that up. But I've really noticed the pattern in this country for quite a while.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, Tom, because it shouldn't be like that, because this is a horrible story, and it shouldn't be buried because it doesn't fit the left's narrative. And you're not going to see it on CNN. In fact, last night, Don Lemon, during his program, which I don't know, can you check for me how long Don Lemon's program goes? I thought I read that it's 2 hours, but that cannot be true. There's no way. There's no way that they would put that kind of cruel and unusual programming out into the world. But during his program, he didn't mention it once. He spent like the first half hour, I guess, talking about the Obama's return to the White House. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And by the way, I pointed this out yesterday with Howie. How many portraits, if we are going to talk about Obama for a second, how many unveilings does one guy need? You know, Jared, how many unveilings I've had in my lifetime of portraits?
Two.
No, you went too high. Zero. And actually, no, you know what? That's not true. We have a photo of me in the studio that you could call it a portrait.
That is true, yes.
So I've had one. Obama's had like 18. Every other day, there's a new picture. There's a new painting. There's a new award. There's a new medal. There's a new Grammy. There's a new podcast. There's a new Oscar. Is he an EGOT? I don't think he has a Tony yet, but it's not too late. Eddie, you're next up on... Actually, let's go to Lisa first. We'll go to Eddie after the break. Lisa, quickly, go ahead.
Hi, I won't be able to hear you very well, but this is Lisa, and I am a psychiatric nurse, and they're sending these people out without bail. That's the racist thing, because what you're doing is you're taking a person who's probably in the midst of a mental health crisis, and you're depriving them of treatment, which is what they need. If you just held them for 3 days, and gave them medication, they would probably come back around. Now, I'm not talking anything about any kind of, you know, trouble that they get in.
Yeah, Lisa, I do understand your point. We'll go into this more when we come back. Thank you for the call. Don't go anywhere, everyone. We're going to keep talking about this. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
In the words of Joe Biden, oh boy, I just found out some crazy news. Don Lemon is on for 2 hours. Did you say 10 to midnight? That's a tough shift.
Oh boy.
Not for a night owl like Don Lemon.
2 hours, but still not enough time to mention the shooting spree happening that was happening in Memphis. And that's just what I read. I just read he didn't mention it. I didn't watch the full 2 hours, so I could be wrong. Maybe we'll check the transcripts.
Grace, you know what is standard operating procedure for the American media to wait for all the details to emerge about a shooting
before they comment on it. We wouldn't want to jump to conclusions.
Right.
Yeah. We wouldn't want to make assumptions and then have to walk them back, or we wouldn't want to vilify people who have nothing to do with anything.
It's a hell of a lot of journalism.
CNN's never been involved with something where they spoke too soon and then they got sued for millions of dollars. You're right. You're totally right. The Democrats will want to talk about everything to do with crime except for whose policies are responsible for it. They'll talk about the gun. They'll talk about the circumstance. They'll talk about racism. They'll talk about sexism. They'll talk about climate change is making people, you know, kill people. They'll talk about every single thing except for anything that would actually make a difference. Eddie, you are up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Eddie.
Thanks, Grace. Two quick points. One, yes, the greatest threat to democracy isn't MAGA. It's if you get shot and killed, democracy is over for you, along with everything else. So this lawless dystopian society that they're bringing us into, right, that's the greatest threat. You can't even walk the streets, you know what I mean, without keeping an eye out. You don't know what's going to happen. Second point, I don't know if you saw Tucker last night, but he had an 18-minute intro about Fetterman, right, being such a phony, right? Went over, you got to watch this. I mean, he just takes the whole thing apart from birth to where he is now. And besides being, you know, having brain damage, the guy is a total phony. He's like, Sanders there, Bernie Sanders, whatever his name is, you know, because he never had a job, but he's a big union guy, all this other stuff. You know what I mean? His total phony mayorship of that town that's dilapidated.
Well, for people who aren't following the Fetterman-Oz situation, Fetterman and Oz are both running for Senate in Pennsylvania, and Dr. Oz can't get John Fetterman to debate. Now, I want to be very clear here. I heard Hugh Hewitt saying this recently as well. John Fetterman had a stroke. We're all hoping that he recovers. You know, I hope that he takes the time he needs. The problem here is you have to be able to perform the duties of a senator. And that's what you're running on, is I'm capable of doing this. If you are in poor health, which I don't even think it's an argument at this point that John Fetterman is, and hopefully he won't be in a few months. But right now he is. If you've seen his speeches, they are disjointed. He is struggling. And I say that not at all sarcastically. I'm not trying to be mean about it. Someone in his family should say to him, hey, you know, we got to back out of this because you cannot take on this stress. But instead, what they're doing is they're playing this game. And now what he's claiming is that he will debate Oz. He'll do one debate and he'll do it 2 weeks before the election. And as Chris DeGaulle pointed out, 2 weeks before the election, most early voting's already done, and it's not really going to make the difference that these debates can make if they're done in a normal fashion before voting begins. And I don't think, like, we've gotten to this place now, and I do kind of blame Biden and Trump, because when you think about it, they had originally scheduled, what, 3 debates between Biden and Trump, and then they only did 2. I think there should be 5. I think there should be 5 for all of these positions. What does it hurt to see more people? Let's go back to Carrie Lake, for example, and we'll talk about, I'm going to save a lot of her cuts for the 1 o'clock and the 2 o'clock, for obvious reasons, thanks to our new station. But I want to point something out. She was talking to reporters today, and she said, where is my opponent? I am here talking to you. How often does she talk to you? And these same reporters, again, using that term very, very loosely, These same reporters who cry and whine and call people dictators and authoritarians if they don't sit down for interviews. Where's the transparency? We need our questions answered. And they have no problem. They used to be so rude to Trump. They used to shout over him. It was like he wasn't even president. They could have cared less about decorum. And now they have these same Democrat opponents who are saying they're not going to debate. They're not going to take questions. They're not going to talk to media. They're basically taking a chapter out of the Biden playbook of I'm going to sit in my basement until Election Day. That is unacceptable. And the media should be shrieking about it. They're the ones who are supposed to be the ones who want questions answered. And instead, all they do is they ask Carrie Lake questions like, what do you say to people who think Trump is undermining democracy? And to her credit, she does exactly what Trump always did, which was she takes the question and she spins it back on them. Actually, she reminds me a lot of Kayleigh McEnany because she's able to take these dumb questions and just roast the media with it, which is why Joe Rogan called Kayleigh McEnany the Michael Jordan of press secretaries. You have to be able to give it right back to them because these journalists have zero credibility at this point. And a perfect example, which that last caller brought up, is John Fetterman. When John Fetterman said he didn't want to debate, you know whose problem it became? You know whose fault it was? Dr. Oz's fault and Republicans' fault because we were pouncing and weaponizing and seizing because apparently you're not allowed to comment on somebody's health when they're running for an office, unless it's Donald Trump. If it's Donald Trump, if it's any Republican, you can comment on their weight. You can comment on the way they walk. You can comment on the way they talk. It's all fair game. But if it's a Democrat who just had a stroke and won't debate, that's off limits. That's cruel. That's mean. That's nasty. And it's laughable. It's laughable. And don't let them do that. Don't ever let them make you feel like you're being mean or you're doing something wrong. Have a longer memory than that. Don't forget the way they treated Trump. Don't forget the way they still treat all of these Republicans. Don't buy into that. 844-500-4242. I'm glad that last caller brought up Fetterman because he has been in the news a lot. He's not talking to really any reporters. He has handlers who are very similar to Joe Biden's handlers. You know, they swoop right in. In fact, I think it was his wife who swooped in this week to stop a reporter from asking him a question. She was very Jill Biden-esque. I wanted to talk a little bit here about the Biden-CNN riff. And this makes me laugh. This is all the players in it that just, the palace intrigue that just really makes me laugh. This is from Politico. And they usually do a pretty good scoop, I have to say. It's slanted, but it's scoop nonetheless. I'm just going to skip around here to some of the highlighted parts that intrigued me. One person with knowledge of the situation is that the White House is mad at CNN. The White House spends more time. If only the White House could channel some of this energy that they spend tweeting.
Come on, man.
That they spend tweeting at people and meeting with TikTokers. And making these montage videos of Willow the cat. If only they could spend just a scintilla of this time on, I don't know, fixing the southern border, doing anything. No, they're either spending your money and increasing inflation, or they're having back and forths with media personalities about how they're not sending out the right message. Because in their minds at the White House, that is the job of CNN. You are an arm of the White House, and you are not doing your job properly. And how embarrassing is it for those people? Like for those reporters? For Jake Tapper? The second you veer from the Jen Psaki, Corinne Jean-Pierre, John Kirby, Ron Klain talking points, CNN gets, the White House gets mad at you. They're grumpy. They're upset. So one person with knowledge of the situation said White House officials were irked by the negative coverage of President Joe Biden's speech last week. Now, if CNN was ever going to have a time where their hands were tied as far as being honest about a speech, I think the red sauna light speech was the one. I don't think optically there was a way to look at that speech and think, home run. Like, yeah, you can bring John Meacham on. You can bring on, you know what they should have done? They should have done what MSNBC did way back when, where you bring on the person who wrote the speech You do not disclose to the audience that this person wrote the speech, and you have him or her talk about how great the speech was. And then a few minutes later, it will come out, actually, that person wrote most of the speech, and you can just say, oh, we didn't know. That's what they should have done.
And didn't CNN, weren't they the channel that tinted the background to make it less red?
That comes up.
Ah, sorry, I'm getting ahead of the plot here.
Jared, the fuchsia of it all. This was fuchsia issues. Much of the cable news chatter on the speech's visuals were driven by Breonna Keeler, an outspoken CNN host known for her tough grilling of Trump officials. The New Day anchor blasted the Biden White House over the presence of the U.S. Marines during Biden's address, which I commented. She said that it was wrong when Republicans do it, wrong when Democrats do it. That, at this point in this administration, this is how deranged everyone is. That is considered like shots fired. How dare you? How dare you have standards? How dare you hold us to the same standards we held Trump to? West Wing Playbook previously reported that Licht, that's Chris Licht, met with White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain earlier this year. He also met with a lot of people on the conservative side. So when CNN White House correspondent John Harwood announced he was leaving the network long before his contract was up, it was noticeable how quickly Klain blasted out a number of tweets praising Harwood. Is anyone confused as to why we are in such a bleep show right now? Like, Ron Klain is more concerned with the programming and the casting decisions at CNN than he's concerned about America. That, for me, is an issue. Like, if I want to be concerned about what's going on at Fox... So Ron Klain is basically the Brian Stelter of the White House. He's sitting around. He's our reliable source who's getting upset about the media decisions at CNN. Like, do you have nothing else going on, bro? Do you want me to give you some things to do?
And as always, when it comes up with Ron Klain, we have to remind the audience, even though they didn't forget, this man is the White House Chief of Staff.
He's basically like a Gen Z intern who's spending all day on Twitter and getting lattes.
Is he the one with the fingernails that did the phone call video with Saki, or was that somebody else?
That was somebody else. Okay. Klain also reposted resistance media personality Rick Wilson's tweet. So now he's retweeting the Lincoln Project people. Yeah, because they're definitely who you want to be associated with, the Lincoln Project. Rick Wilson, who told us years ago.
You like popsicles?
Rick Wilson, who raised all of this money to make an anti-Trump movie. This is how there's a sucker born every minute. This is how quickly a Trump deranged fool is departed with their money, okay? He convinced these Trump deranged lunatics to give him, I think it was like hundreds of thousands of dollars to make a movie about Donald Trump. And guess what, Jared? You know when you can expect that movie?
When is that?
2020, never. That's when. You're never going to see that movie. There's no movie in sight. Unless the movie was the production of those fake Klansmen who were, you know, outside Youngkin's tour bus. There's no movie in sight. So now Ron Klain, the chief of staff, is reposting Rick Wilson's tweet that dubbed CNN Diet Fox after anchor Poppy Harlow asked KJP whether Biden would apologize for calling Republicans semi-fascist.
Go there.
This is, I know I called it high school, but it's junior high. It's middle school. These people are running the country and they have nothing better to do than to tweet about how CNN has disappointed them.
By the way, Ron, what's going on with the white-haired gentleman who keeps wandering around aimlessly?
Yeah, does anybody got eyes? Him? Does anybody have eyes on Biden? That's a great question, Jared. Does anyone have eyes on Biden? Can we get a whereabout as to where he is?
Is the Easter Bunny bicycling in Rehoboth Beach right now? What's going on?
He was probably getting ignored by Obama at that ceremony yesterday. You think Obama was nicer to him this time? It's like, hey, Obama, when we get out there, can you, you know, shake my hand in front of everybody? That really mean a lot to me.
You got it, John Biden, my favorite.
844-500-4242. We'll be back with more of your calls. I just had to get that rant out. I haven't had a CNN rant since yesterday, so it's been boiling up inside of me.
It's an infamous fake.
We will be right back. And don't forget, in the 1 o'clock, we've got Ned Ryan. We also have this Vegas area breaking news story, which is really, really wild. You're going to want to hear the details. And we'll talk a little bit about the cover stars of the month, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Jennifer Lawrence, all these celebrities who are back on their soapboxes telling us what to do, how to live, how to stop the earth from overheating. Anything you need, these celebrities can tell you all about it. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Her entire family has been summoned to Balmoral. Balmoral is a private residence. It's the Queen's residence or summer residence. It's not Buckingham Palace. It's not an official residence, as it were. That says it all. The fact that the palace had to issue this statement at all suggests how serious this situation is. The semi-state broadcaster, the BBC, our partners, are now going into rolling news coverage, so they've suspended their broadcasting. All of that indicates how serious the situation is.
Yeah, we will keep everyone posted. That was CBS News talking about the Queen's condition. And also, I'm sure people saw this, but the Speaker of the House of Commons interrupted Parliament today to send his best wishes to the monarch. So it's all over the news today. We will keep you abreast of the situation. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If Trump runs in 2024, who should be his VP? Carrie Lake, Ron DeSantis, Tim Scott, Mike Pompeo, or Dr. Oz?
This is tricky because I would love a DeSantis-Trump ticket in one way or another. I don't think they'll ever run together. I think it's too much personality. I think they're too similar in some ways. And I don't think DeSantis is the kind of guy to be VP. I think he's the kind of guy who's either in charge or he's not in charge, if that makes sense. Carrie Lake is really impressing me lately. The way she handles herself in front of the media, the way she doesn't back down, the way she's pretty unafraid of any sort of confrontation. So I think she'd be a nice running mate for Donald Trump. The media would definitely love it because they would finally get some ratings again. I'm going to say Carrie Lake, and we're going to save some of this sound for later on. But yeah, I'm going to say Carrie Lake.
Carrie Lake right now at 27%. That's second place. Ron DeSantis in first place at 39%. 17% for Tim Scott. 15% for Mike Pompeo. And only 2% for Dr. Oz.
We have a lot left to get to in today's show. We are going to talk to Ned Ryan in the next segment about the green energy in California. And also Hillary Clinton's latest claims that, you know, her situation with her emails was very different than Donald Trump's. But I just wanted to give people an update here.
Now one of them was illegal.
D.C. is declaring public emergency on migrant crisis and establishing an Office of Migrant Services. And here's something that won't surprise you. This new office, it's going to be pretty pricey. We'll be right back with Ned Ryan from American Greatness. Don't go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.